The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Nitta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm feeling a little ill, but that's okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I have a week off from day job for Thanksgiving, so that's good.
Oh, that's right.
You have holiday. I mean, I hate Thanksgiving, but
it is holiday.
Yeah, if I have to be sick and not, you know, I'd rather do it when I'm not supposed to be working. And the great part about skating is that it keeps happening.
The skates start happening and they won't stop happening, which is actually deeply incorrect because we're getting ever closer to the final. I know there is other stuff that's going to happen after that, but in terms of the wild chase that it is, the, you know, the regular Grand Prix season pre-final, we're almost there. There is one more left.
Am I having an insane Mandela effect memory that at some point in the past they didn't used to be every weekend?
I feel like they have been happening every weekend in of my life for as far as I can remember.
No, but like a few years back, like I feel like there was at least one season where in the middle of it there was a weekend where there was nothing. Did I make that up?
I mean, there is always a weekend when there is nothing, and that's the weekend before the final. It's like, what, like 2 weeks before the final?
But there wasn't like a magical year where they like took a week off between Canada and France or something?
I don't think so.
Did I make that up?
So.
Okay, maybe I just was experiencing time dilation.
You might just be experiencing time dilation.
Which is fine.
Which is.
And healthy and normal.
Which is valid and normal. My sense of time is not irreparably broken from years of a global pandemic and dodgy mental health and everything else. Hi, everyone.
Yeah,
welcome to the pod.
I have what they call time blindness on mental health TikTok, so I don't listen to me. Anyway, we are here to talk about Finland.
I have Finland blindness. No, I don't. I actually enjoyed Finland very much. We were in Espoo again. I'm going to continue to try to pronounce the name of this beautiful city that we've grown to be in so often, right? Closest I can get is Espoo. I know I'm not, that's not great, but it's not Espoo, which is as far as I'm going to get, I think.
I love that you said it's a city that we've grown to be in. Like, not a city that we've grown to love, but a city that we've grown to be in.
Well, the thing is, the only things I've seen from Espoo is the inside of the arena, which is gorgeous. We love the Metro Arena. I think it's pretty. And then the tiny drone shots that we see for like 2 seconds while I'm having a Pavlovian response to the ISU music.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there are certain places that are just figure skating venues to me in my heart, and that's okay.
Yeah, that is most places for me, I'm going to be so honest. But you know what? After this, because I keep... Here's a detour. A very brief detour. I will be going on Google Maps and taking a walk through the beautiful streets of Espoo when we're done here. And I'll tell you why. It's because every month I remember that I pay for GeoGuessr. I have a GeoGuessr subscription, which is like $1.50. It's nothing. It's
oh my
no
God,
money.
I think I do too. Because we played it for the show one time.
We have played it for the show and we should play it again because I love GeoGuessr so very much. But I keep forgetting about it.
It's on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/icedteapod.
See, it's so related. This is actually a guerrilla marketing for this very old episode of our Patreon after show. I keep thinking that I should be GeoGuessing more. And I geo guess that taking a digital walk to Espoo could be preparation for my next...
It's research.
It's research for my next inevitable spiral where I'm very deeply convinced that I should make the best of the fact that I have spent like a dollar this week, this month on. Because they don't make GeoGuessr like they used to, and you gotta pay for the fun stuff now.
Yeah, man, they put the GeoGuessr behind a paywall.
Can't believe GeoGuessr is behind paywall. Anyway, patreon.com/heistypod. I'm kidding, our good shit is out here as well. We've been in Finland.
We have. Would you like to start with the women or the men?
I would like to start with the men, because I feel like once we start talking about the women, we'll be here for a while.
That's true.
So I would like to do men first, because it was, well, first of all, let's just say both men and women, both senior singles events, were a bit of a wild ride, and a bit of movement happened, and there was a bit of screaming, and yeah, it was awesome.
I had to work a lot of the weekend, and so I was watching it in, like, weird little bits and pieces instead of my usual, like, when I wake up with my coffee. And it was insane to not be spoiled, to have all these vague, like, because you all know, as people who exist in the internet, that there's spoilers where somebody tweets a result. But then there's, like, vibe spoilers where, like, this is what I call vibe spoilers, where you don't see any results, right? But you see somebody be like, oh, my God, I lost my shit. And you're or like, oh, my God, I screamed. I can't believe it. It was so chaotic. And you're like, OK, well, what does that mean? I'm like the lady with the numbers math gif where I'm like, well, aww. If it was chaotic, that means that whoever was supposed to win probably didn't win. Right. Or almost didn't win. And so I'm like trying to read between the lines there. So I had a lot of that all weekend. And I still didn't know. Like, none of it was helpful. It was very chaotic.
None of it was helpful because it was actually so chaotic that short of actually getting the results tweeted at you or texted at you, you could not have predicted some of the truly unhinged movement that happened in both fields. The ice may or may not have had a curse put on it. I don't like blaming the ice because I love and respect the ice, but my God, was the ice just there, just doing its thing.
It didn't even feel cursed. It just felt like wild magic-y, like it just random, like somebody was rolling dice on a table.
Yeah, anytime anyone jumps, the benevolent DM in the sky rolls on a wild magic table to just see whether it's going to work or not. And sometimes you think it's worked and then it falls apart after it looks perfectly landed, which was the case several times throughout both fields.
Yeah, and like I was thinking about that yesterday. I went ice skating and I kept accidentally just like going back on my heel a little too far because like my socks were too thick and I couldn't move my foot inside my skate properly. And I was like, I am just like when somebody like tries to land a quad and then they slip off their edge at the last minute. I'm just like that.
You're just like them for real, for real. Have you considered toe socks?
Like the kind that hug your, like each toe has its own little sock?
Yeah.
No, I hate that. But I do have, skating socks that are like not like thick Bombas socks that I should be wearing under my skates. And I just like forgot.
I did try. I was wearing tights under my Under Armour at the rank the other day because I was cold because it's been quite cold. It's been below freezing in Sofia. So I thought I was going to be good to myself and wear like normal tights and then socks. Turns out bad. And I had to get off the ice and take my socks off. Which would be a very boring story if it wasn't for the additional part of it, which is that the only pair of tights that I owned that weren't like, that didn't have like tears in them or anything, were a pair of white tights. And I don't mean nude in my white person nude color. I mean white.
Paper oh, like whites. First communion, like Netta makes their first communion.
I'm Orthodox, allegedly. I've never had a first communion. The reason why I did have white tights is from about a year ago where I did a full old school traditional clown look in drag. So I was out there doing my single jumps in my clown tights for clowns.
I think that's actually exactly like that's the vibe.
Yeah, that is the correct energy for this event, I think, is clown tights for clowns on ice.
Clown tights for clowns on ice. And the bronze medalist of clown tights for clowns on ice 2023 was Kevin Amals of France.
It sure was. It continues to be interesting talking about him because I miss him. Because, I mean, we've talked about it so many times. He's changed so many things within the sport for the better. He had one of his classic Rocky. He had a terrible short. Well, he was fifth in the short, but he did not enjoy it and felt like it was a bad time. And then he was giving interviews like, I felt like I wanted to withdraw. And then he didn't. And he ended up third in the free and third overall because the math. It was men's figure skating, the mathed, you know. And he cried. He cried both times. He cried with joy and he cried with sadness and whatever else was happening to him. And that used to be the shit that I enjoy so much. And I miss him.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Bird Girl a little more after we talked about it last time. For me, it's all about Bolero Free Skate. And yeah. Because it didn't... like immediately pop off the way he wanted it to, I just like didn't feel the energy was there, so it wasn't exciting for me this time the way that was last time. It just felt like his energy wasn't behind it, and it just goes to show that, like, yeah, he's obviously a great skater, but like his charisma and his energy and like the fun vibe he's bringing is like so much of it. Yeah. And when that's not there, it's like, oh, it's like, where's Kevin?
I feel like it's both. Obviously, when things are not going technically as perfect as he would like them to, he obviously, I mean, he has to be thinking more about the things that he needs to do, you know, in order to get the points, because there is math in this whole thing. But it is very, very clockable. I think for other skaters who are not as out there and memorable in their presentation, I think you wouldn't notice it as much. But I think the second he's in his head, you can really, really tell that he just kind of puts, you know, the performance factor kind of on the back burner so he can focus. And I think that's part of why it's harder for it to click when it's not 100%. Because he has had performances in the past, competitions in the past, where it's not 100% there technically. There's been performances where not a single jump gets landed, but he is so in the laying it all out there element of it that it doesn't matter. And I think this time around it was kind of the opposite a little bit for me.
Yeah, and like, who's to say why? I mean, like, honestly, like, I have this conversation with my voice students a lot, and I feel like it's kind of similar where, like, for anybody who performs fairly regularly, like, there's a lot you can do to prepare. But also, like, depending on where you are mentally or emotionally, like, there's also a lot of stuff you can't control at all.
Oh, of course.
Like, it's, and, or even explain. And, like, sometimes the vibes just aren't there, and it's just like, okay, well, they can't all be perfect because sometimes, you know.
And especially when it's your job. I mean, I think of it more from the acting perspective or whatever I happen to do, or like drag performance. Sometimes you just don't have it in you, or you're just distracted, or you ate weird at lunch and now you're just feeling a little off. And all of that is, I mean, I think we like to glorify and romanticize, you know, audience facing careers a bunch. And obviously I love that shit because I've been a performer my whole life. But I think there is an element to it where when that is all you do, or the main thing you do, of course you can't be, you're not Barbie, you can't be having the best day ever every day, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're, like, I guess the reason, it's weirdly reminding me of, like, singing in particular, but I guess acting would also be under this umbrella of this, like, this thing where your art or your specialty is, like, your body is the instrument through which you perform it, like, at risk of sounding kind of like highfalutin. So it's like, if your body is your instrument or your main piece of equipment or whatever, and your body's attached to your brain, and your brain is constantly doing stuff that you have absolutely no
control over, really, then that's like, okay, there's, you know, you can learn to work around it, but a lot of it is learning to work around it and not like change for it sure. or work through yeah. it. Yeah. So I don't, and I don't say this because I know anything in particular happened to Kevin. It's just a tangent because I don't want to sound like critical for asking a person with a, you know, a big stage presence to be perfect every time. Cause I know just as a performer that that's not really possible and it's not even really under the control. So I want to make sure that if I'm being critical about this, I want to acknowledge that like,
but I,
probably
I feel like,
I'm sure he would also have loved to do a much more charismatic performance, you
for
know,
sure. But also I feel like he acknowledged it as well in his, the interviews that they do when they're fresh off the ice and everything. I think he himself acknowledged that the energy wasn't 100% there and, you know, that he wasn't, especially in the short, he just wasn't in it. And I mean, as much as you'd like to criticize him because his coaching team are demons from hell and he seems to be complicit in it, I do respect that he's been very outspoken about the mental and physical blocks that sometimes are, you know, a part of it. Because, I mean, we all know what we've come to expect from him, and I think what he has come to expect from himself. So it's, I respect it, and I respect that he is capable of being like, yeah, I'm super happy to be on this podium. Also, I know that this wasn't, you know, the weekend.
Yeah, and I think that comes up more in the women's as well. Where you reach a certain level of greatness and it's like you can be both proud and also like this wasn't my best even though I got a good yeah. result. So
yeah, I think we're going to end up talking about that as well when we get to the women. But anyway, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just nostalgic for like 4 years ago. I am waiting to see his Bolero again and see it maybe done better again. So I can relearn some of the hype, you know? So Kevin is going to the final. So we are going to see both programs in the context of the Grand Prix series one more time. I am very, very curious about how it's going to end up shaking out. I don't think he's technically qualified because... Okay, so here's the thing. And I am using Jackie's predictions to kind of unpack this. He's won the tiebreak over Shun because they both have 24 points, but because of the total, because they both have 13 points from one event and 11 from another, the total score is higher for Kevin, so he wins that tiebreak. So basically, unless Lucas Vrechki or Nika Egadze wins NHK, which I doubt is going to happen, Kevin ends up going to the final for sure, for sure, for sure. Wikipedia has him as fully qualified at this point because I think people are assuming this is not going to happen. Basically, Kevin is going to the final unless some truly insane shit happens, which is why Wikipedia at this point is like, yeah, he's probably qualified.
Very bold of Wikipedia to assume that some insane shit is definitely not happening in this economy, in this world, in this men's figure skating. But yeah, you know,
whoever edited the wiki, I hope you're right, because I would be thrilled for Lucas Vrechki.
They're a Lucas Vrechki anti. He has one nemesis and they edit Wikipedia.
I love that. I hope it's a Egadze anti, and I get to say that because we all know how I feel about him anyway.
We all get to say it.
Yeah, we all get to say it, I think. Don't at me. Anyway, speaking of Shun Sato, who lost the tiebreak for the final.
Shun Sato won silver.
He did win silver. I'm so sorry that the math didn't math for him. He is such a joy and a delight. He won the free skate. His free was everything.
Yeah, and, like, in the free skate in particular, like, I will say, I think as much as we have historically tried to not fall into the trap of taking, like, pairs of skaters and making the narrative all about the pairs of skaters, I mean, pairs of single skaters, obviously, pairs of pair skaters, whatever. I do think it's interesting to see Shun go and then Cal go.
Yeah.
Because when I was watching Shun's free skate, I was like, this is the fastest a human being has ever skated. There's no way that anyone has or will ever skate faster than this. And then Cal went out and skated faster. And I was like, what are they feeding them in Japan?
I don't think it's the Japanese food. I think it's whatever they find on their little snacking adventures when they're traveling.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like they're finding, all I can think of is that they're finding those little, like, things you get in, like, in video games where you get, like, a temporary speed buff in, like, Stardew Valley because you ate something that had, like, a lightning bolt
on it. They both cast haste on each other and then go and skate a bunch.
That's beautiful. That's what bros do.
Yeah, I mean, technically, you could cast haste on yourself, but I do like to live in a fantasy world where A, both of them are spellcasters, and B, they trade off haste to make things even and fair when they're trading first and second places.
This is the new generation of Mai Mihara and Kaori Sakamoto giving each other bangs in a hotel.
Yes, but we've proceeded to do full... magic full we're actually it's urban fantasy and we're actually doing magic.
And those are the two genders, is that if you're a girl you do each other's hair and if you're a boy you cast spells on each other.
This is a very boring, like, early 2010s dystopia.
Exactly. And it's all a metaphor.
A bunch of teenagers are forced to compete and we get, like, glances into their competition side plots, and the boys are all out there doing world-saving magic and the girls are getting haircuts.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. I mean, listen, The Hunger Games is back in the theaters. That's what I assume it's about.
I have not seen the new one. I did see that the main character, who is the guy who ends up growing up to be the bad guy, to be Snow, whatever his title is, I forget. But apparently it's about him when he was younger. I don't know. I have not seen the movie. Don't at me. But I saw a meme where it's like, yeah, he was, you know, he was impoverished and was suffering through a lot of things, but he never skimped on purple shampoo because he's, like, bright blonde. And I thought about our friend Adam Sully again.
No.
I was thinking of like this person who grows up to be very much in power. I'm not saying Adam Sully is evil. It was just funny that they were like, he's prioritized purple shampoo. And I'm like, it's him, myself with my bangs, and Adam Sully. That's it.
I'm not saying Adam Sully is evil. I am saying I do have faith that he could win the Hunger Games.
Oh, God. We simply cannot be doing who would win The Hunger Games. And this is a sidetrack, but if we are keeping it in, and I will figure out how to make this happen. The icons over at Drawfee had done a couple of, like, some time ago this year, they did a Hunger Games simulator thing where they put in, like, characters from their drawings and stuff. What if I input the entire Grand Prix circuit into a Hunger Games simulator?
And we see how. So, like, awful millennial of us, though. Like, is that so cringe?
If Drawfee is doing it, I get to do it, goddammit.
That's true. Drawfee is great. If you don't know Drawfee, they're just like these artists on YouTube
and
they draw fun stuff and
they're
funny.
They have 2 million subscribers.
There might be somebody who knows us and not Drawfee. I don't know.
Oh my god, if you're the one person who knows us and not Drawfee, Drawfee is a comedy drawing digital art channel formerly part of College Humor and now Dropout, and they're fantastic and they're funny and they draw things. And look, neither one of us and none of those fine folks can change the years we were born in. We're hip and cool and we know Gen Z fucking internet slang, but we are millennials, and as such I want to do a Hunger Games simulator.
Fine, I'll allow it.
I'll see if it's feasible and if it's funny, and if it is funny, I will be making you do this with me as bonus content, patreon.com/icedpod. The fact that we have a podcast is already millennial behavior, so I don't think there's any coming back from this.
That's true. I do forget this about myself.
Yeah, I've come to accept it. Anyway, Shun Sato is not a millennial, and that's why he has a silver medal in 2023, I guess.
Yeah, Kawamiura is a millennial, even though he's really young. We adopted him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he is literally the definition of Gen Z. Kamura is also the winner of this event, even though he had an invalid spin in his short program, which is king shit. Honestly, I respect it so much because there is something to landing like quad sal triple toe and then being like, I will not be lowering my butt while I'm spinning though.
Yeah, like, listen, some of us have hamstrings that are real short, and like,
some of us have hamstrings.
Some of us have hamstrings. Also, I do think Kalmira could be an honorary millennial, because he skated to a Disney song last year.
He did skate to a Disney song, and that is, I'm sorry, but that is millennial behavior. Is it Attack on Titan for millennials?
No, I don't think so, because the people I know who like it are all in their like 20s.
I know a bunch of people who are older than me and like it, so I don't know. But also, all my friends are cool and hip, and they know cool things.
It's hard to say. Let us know if you think Attack on Titan is millennial or not. I do think it's not, like, current and cool, because I think it ended recently, and people were
and
like...
And started 10 years ago.
Yeah, and people were like, oh my god, when this started, I was, like, so young. And I'm like, oh god. But so let us know if you know more about Attack on Titan. I do think we've been through that. I don't know anything about Attack on Titan, but I kind of felt it like during his free. It was so emotional and intense and cool that I was like, yeah, like I don't know anything about this, but I feel like it's cool and intense. And that seems to be why people like it. Like that came through loud and clear for me. I was really impressed.
For sure. Cool and intense and wearing a little harness is one of the moods.
The vibe.
One of the vibes. Our man has 28 points and is going to the final with the exact same number of points as Ilya Malinin. So even though he is technically, you know, the third qualifier, they're sharing the honor of 28 points for the final. And I know I said that like 5 minutes ago. I keep looking at how the final is going to shake out. And I know we still have NHK to go. And I know, I get it. And I'm excited for that. But this is going to be very spicy. This is going to be very interesting, I think, going into this final.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like both Shin Sato and Kalmira just skated so well. I don't know that I have anything like really revolutionary to say. I'm just like excited to see how they do in the final. Assuming Shin makes it, I don't know if he will, but I don't care because I just.
Well, according to Jackie, hi Jackie, it's very unlikely that he does because, okay, I'm going to read you this. I'm just going to read. So he has a low to medium. Or like low, medium chance of making it because he, and I'm quoting, lost the total scores tiebreak to Amos, which puts him very much on the bubble and changes his qualification chances quite dramatically. He would need some unlikely but still probable scenarios to get to the final. For example, if Shoma wins gold, Lucas Brischke wins silver, and Kageyama wins bronze, it will be a long shot, but you never know with men.
That's true. You really never know with men. And that's, I think, a great note to leave men on.
Yeah. It will be a long shot, but you never know with men. You want to talk about women?
Sure. You do know with women.
You don't. The thing is Megan.
The thing is, you don't.
You don't, because the light of my life, the bisexual queer icon that is Amber Glenn, was in 11th in the short program. Ended up in second in the free skate and won bronze with a single axel in the free.
Yeah, well, because, you know, like, being bisexual isn't about being attracted to genders that are similar to yours and different from yours. It's about being both bad and good in the same weekend. Bi is a word that the root means two, and two implies two different things, right? Uh-huh. And the two different things are doing really bad in the short program than doing really well in the free. Like, I don't know. It's right there on the tin.
And then the two also means either landing the triple axel in the free or fucking the axel and then skating just simply so clean for the rest of it and with so much passion and intensity and dedication and performance.
Yeah, and it also means being second to last in the short and second to first in the free.
see, we figured it out. We have solved bisexuality. I'm so thrilled that we've come to arrive here.
Yeah, I feel like a Swiftie because I'm doing all this like weird numerology conspiracy shit, but like better because my blonde icon is actually queer.
Shots fucking fired. I can't wait for several of our friends to be in our DMs about the statements that we've made here on this day, but I stand by it. I think I actually stand by it. I realize also just now that we haven't talked about Amber on main feed this season.
Let's fucking go!
Speaking, and we kind of mentioned it last episode, speaking of Caitlin Weaver choreography, how fucking genius of a short program pick is Heads Will Fucking Roll?
And it's like the fact that it's both like the original, it's the original and the A-track yep. remix, right? Like yep. they're both so good. I just like, it's like honestly like one of my favorite songs ever. Like, do you remember earlier this year when we did that meme that was like your 25 best songs, your top 20 yes. best songs ever? Like, yes. I don't think that Heads Will Roll ended up on there, but it was like a close finalist. It came like second or third round, like towards the end. It's really up there for me. I love it.
It's perfect for the brief of that meme as well, because that whole thing was like, it's not the songs by your favorite artist. It's just the songs that when you hear it, you're ready to fucking go and flip a table and pop off for 3 to 4 minutes. And Heads Will Roll is one of those, and also one hell of a thesis statement to bring to a figure skating competition.
Totally. And like, God, Amber was devastated after that short. It was really awful to see.
Yeah,
and
she
like,
was so sad. I hate when she cries. It makes me so sad.
It's awful. I feel it in my heart. But then the free skate, she goes out there, she pops the triple axel into a single axel, and just when I was about to despair, Mark was like, wait a minute, that means she'll have stamina. And I was like, oh shit, she'll have stamina! And then she did!
It's the stamina, and it's also last time when she did land the triple axel, which we also have just barely mentioned on this podcast, she said herself that that distracted her because she had never, you know, done it in international competition in front of an audience before. And there was so much, you know, energy and adrenaline from having landed it that it distracted her for the second half of that free skate. And now it was just like, well, that didn't happen. Might as well make the rest of it fucking happen. And it was just so concentrated and so intense. And it's funny because she was just fully on Twitter almost immediately after, just being like, yeah, next time I'll combine both of those, sorry y'all, like I'll do better. And then the math kept mathing in a way where she had already kind of been like, yeah, we'll fix it next time, and ended up in the podium. And that is the shit that I live for. It's giving, when is it? Is it Worlds 2005 when Stefan is fully in the audience?
Yeah, out of costume, out of skates, just watching, like, kind of pissed.
Fully, fully iconic. I love when shit like that happens. I know it usually means that the field has been kind of intense and shaky, but it's iconic and I respect it and it makes me laugh.
It is. Yeah, and like, I don't know. I love Amber's free as well. I love she skates with her hair down. I think it's beautiful. I think it's like, I don't know. I think back to our point earlier with Kevin about the unpredictability of like emotions and stuff. Like, I could totally see that happening because I do this embarrassing thing where if I'm talking and somebody randomly like gives me a compliment, I completely lose my shit and like can't continue talking. And like, I just completely lose my train of thought. So if I did something like landed a triple axel that I've been trying to land internationally and like it was this huge deal, blah, 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 I would be like, cool, let's end it here. Like, I would be so flooded with adrenaline that I would not be able to feel my limbs.
Yeah, for sure. I fully understand that. I will say, and I know we've talked about this with other skaters before, Exogenesis Part 3, always great. I will say, though, I wonder, and this is a lukewarm fucking take, but I wonder if we should put it up there with the Bond themes, where I don't think we need a song with Let's Start Over Again coming in halfway through the song when we're doing feats of athleticism. Because when it doesn't work out, it kind of stresses me out, you know?
I kind of like it. Here's why I like it. Okay.
Okay. So because,
okay. So it happens at a point in the song where you're like 2/3 of the way through ish, which is approximately when we've like finished. People always place it where the jumping passes have just ended. And now we're going to do a step sequence. And so in the event that it's gone really poorly, like, let's start over again is a great way to be like, okay, forget all that. I'm just going to blow you away with the step sequence right now. It's going to be very emotional. And, like, I'm buying into that emotion because that's part of the emotional arc. Mm-hmm. And if they've done an unbelievable job, I take it as, like, let's start over again. Like, this is a new chapter for me. So I feel like it works both ways. So I'm never really, like, that mad at it.
Yeah, okay. I can buy that. It's very easy to sell me on a narrative. That actually makes sense. And I enjoy the song, unlike other songs that I have a genuine gripe with. I always think it's beautiful. I just, sometimes when it's just sad throughout, I just feel sad because they're not allowed to stop and start over again, you know?
Yeah, I do think every time I hear Exogenesis that, like, any really popular, like, rock or pop artist could make such a killing, certainly through figure skating alone, by just doing a song that's kind of symphonic and epic, but also like has a modern sensibility. Like, that's such a wide prompt that I feel like so many artists would do such a good job with. And like, that's the fact that I think Exogenesis is great, but I think the reason that it's so popular is because it's a genre that is like, okay, it's like kind of like old figure skating because it's this epic orchestral music, but it's also kind of not because it has some words and it's got some drums in it sometimes and some electric guitar sometimes, you know. And so I think that's a genre that, like, I would love to see Billie Eilish release a little symphony.
I was going to ask you who you would want to see do that. That was going to be my next question.
I think Billie has the range. I think Billie could do it. I think, who else?
Hozier.
I was going to say Hozier. Yeah, obviously. I feel like Hozier could do anything. That wouldn't even be a departure for Hozier.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen How's That for a Fucking Throwback way before he was a nut job. We've seen Sergei Polunin dancing. I was going to say skating. Ballet dancing to Take Me to Church before he had a dictator tattooed on his chest, you know. But it can be done with Hozier. I'm honestly surprised we don't see Hozier on ice as much as we should.
So this is another thing that I've coming to realize that is like really huge in my world. And then like, I think is actually maybe not as popular as I assume he is because of like where I am at mentally and where I live on the internet. Like a lot of people I talk to who are not in my specific corner of the internet who I assume would be Hozier fans have never heard of him.
He sold out like one of the big New York venues like recently though. Like
yeah, Hozier's he's selling not, out.
Hozier is not like indie. Like we've seen Måneskin on ice.
Yeah, that's
as far
true.
As, like,
I don't know what it is.
Gay music that I enjoy. that's not necessarily absolute, you know, huge, huge, huge mainstream. Which, I mean,
I bet he'll be cool in 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think when people want to do Blues on Ice, they're primarily still like Klook.
Yeah. I miss Klook. We haven't heard from him in such a long time.
I'm ready for a Klookessence.
A Klookessence. Anyway. Amber Glenn.
I want to say one more thing about Amber Glenn. Amber
Please
Glenn,
do.
In addition to all of her other incredible achievements, to me, the big one is that she is the first out queer woman to land a flipped triple toed.
Talk to me about the flipped triple toed, because I saw that on your on Twitter and it cracked me up so much. I laughed on a public bus and people gave me weird looks about it.
Good, I'm glad. It was important to me as well. The closed captioning continues to be bananas in response to Mark's accent. And also potentially just in response to the fact that maybe closed captioning is hard and I don't know if a human's doing it. But I don't know what Mark said. I'm assuming it was like triple flip, triple toe. And
probably triple flip, triple toe.
It came out as flipped triple toed. And I was like... What a queen. She just invented a whole new thing.
She just
even
flipped
know?
Three toads.
sometimes you gotta flip a toad. Sometimes you gotta flip three. And for an out queer woman to do that is brave.
I'm torn because here's the two bits I want to be doing. One, I want to request that someone throw me three beautiful toads on a little lake figure skating, like those old-timey, beautiful watercolor Christmas cards. That's the one thing I want. And the other one is that I'm going to flip a toad sounds like either something very vulgar or just like a way to be like, I'm going to lose my shit.
It's giving, like, do you know that tweet that's, like, flipped a grunt? Like, so-and-so flipped a grunt.
No.
Curtains for Zusha.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the tweet making fun of what headlines sound like if you don't know who current celebrities are. So that, for me, flipped a grunt is shorthand for, like, I've never heard of these people in my life. But flipping a triple toad is when you're an icon.
Throwback to that one event, like, 4 years ago, I forgot what it was, where they misspelled her name, and it was Ambra Glenn with one.
Ambre Glenn.
So it's an Ambre Glenn flipped triple toad is the headline for people who don't know figure skating, and we're trying to explain to them what happened.
That's her legacy.
Speaking of legacy, Rion Sumiyoshi ended up with a silver medal again.
She did. And as I said last time, I think I accidentally had said that she was younger than she was. She's 20 and she's doing a quad.
She is 20 and she is doing a quad. No, she's not flipping a toad, but she is doing a quad, and we have to respect that. It is interesting that, yes, she does have she does have two medals, and she does have a bronze and a silver. However, she did technically lose the tiebreak to Hana Yoshida, who we're also going to talk about in a second. Or we did last time. I'm fully distracted. So she did. Okay, I'm going to take that again. So she did lose the tiebreak to Hana Yoshida, which is a little bit frustrating because Hana had 9 points from Skate America and obviously 15 from China. And then Rion has 11 from France and now 13 from Finland. But because her highest placement was a silver and not a gold, she ends up losing the tiebreak.
That is a little annoying just because the fields were not all equally stacked this year.
Yeah. And it's one of those moments where the math shakes out in a way where it is confusing to me. So basically, and I am once again referring to Jackie's summary of what needs to happen for certain people to qualify, because I'm sure you can hear my brain working right now. If Hayeon Lee doesn't win NHK, if anyone else wins, Rion gets the final. If Hayeon Lee wins NHK, she ends up with a 9 points from France, and then she would end up with 15 from NHK, which would give her the exact same score and the exact same placement as Hana, which would bump Rion down, so she wouldn't get the...
I kind of like this scenario because it feels like it could happen, but it also couldn't happen. Like, I genuinely don't know. And so it's, yeah, like, got me on the edge of my seat.
It's spicy a little bit. There is some math that could happen. And it just took me a full 3 minutes to process it. So, you know, it will be interesting when it starts happening in several days. Or when it... Oh, God. By the time this episode comes out, the short program may have happened, depending on how our program how our schedule shake out. I'm feeling anxious about the final and about NHK, about the implications of NHK for the final, I think.
Yeah, it is really coming down to the wire. Rion did a beautiful job, however.
She did.
And yeah, and I want to say, like, I don't know. I think that I, how do I say this? I I think it's really, really cool that she's 20 and she's got a quad.
Yes.
I think it's like her and Tursunbayeva are like the oldest people to do quads. And Tursunbayeva, we realize now, is probably was probably on some sort of like puberty blockers and so-and-so's grandpa's water.
As well.
Not, I don't think she landed it in internationally, though.
Internationally, no, but like we know she has it or had it.
She's, I don't well, fucking so I was gonna know say, what she's up to now. To yeah, well, and also she's, I don't even know her deal, but yeah, so I guess
it is very rare at this point.
It's very rare, and I also think that you can be like, wow, it's really rare that a person in their 20s is landing quads, and also acknowledge that like she is still sort of built like a teenager, and that is probably a lot of why she can do quads in her 20s. And I think that there will, because there are some people who are just, people are built all sorts of different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that even by raising the age limit, we are always still going to have like somebody who's just like very petite in their 20s and can do a quad. And I'm okay with that. Like, I don't, I think that it's just like a random thing. Like in the same way that Michael Phelps is just sort of like built like a weird mutant fish man or some shit. And that makes him really good at swimming. Like there's always going to be people who have just like random advantages. So yeah, I do think...
I don't think you can legislate that super much because it becomes weird if you're trying to legislate it way too much. I mean, that's where the whole fucking trans people in sports debate will come in because people try to argue biological advantage or whatever. And the fact is, like, in figure skating, we'll see most figure skaters are shorter. And then you have a bunch of taller people, both in men and women's singles, and they're taller and they stand out, and that doesn't always mean that they're gonna be at the bottom of, you know, the ranking. It's, you can't help that stuff, and especially with most sports where people start when they're all fucking 3 years old and tiny, you can't know that you're gonna be fucking Kimi Rapond and grow 9 centimeters over the summer. You can't know that until it's happening.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
And so, yeah, I think what I'm saying is, like, I think we can acknowledge that, like, her physique probably does allow her to do quads more easily than somebody who had who has, like, a physique that you would traditionally associate with a person older, I guess. But I'm okay with it. I think it's fine. And, like, I don't think that that's the only reason she can do quads. And I think that... it's okay if that's the case, because there's, you know, Ilya Melanin is like randomly doing quad axles and nobody else is doing those. And it's what I like about this season is that whoever is on the judging panels appears to be cognizant of the fact that that's not like an automatic free pass to win.
Yes, I agree. It almost makes me feel more excited when it does happen. I mean, when the quad happens and when the math still shakes out, however it ends up shaking out, because it proves again that it's just one part of your whole arsenal. Conversely, very similarly, if Amber had landed the triple axel in her free skate here, she would have won the free, but that would not have changed as much, you know, in the math. Like, I think it's healthy for every skater to realize that they have to be capable of delivering a bunch of everything with quality and quantity, with quality. And it's not about, you know, the one, you're like one hyper ultra, whatever element. And I think like Ilya, who didn't skate here, and I don't know why we're mentioning him so much, but like he's a honestly a very good example of that, because last year he was very much relying towards the end of the year of, you know, the wow factor of this one impossible element, and then has very vocally been like, I have figured out it. I need to do other things as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I did bring him up, is because, I mean, that's the extreme example, right? But I think that I've always wanted to see figure skating scoring play out such that, you know, overall, obviously good skating is rewarded more than bad skating, it as a blanket statement, but that there are different paths, there are different strategies. You could like put your eggs in different baskets and add them up in slightly different ways. And I think that that's what makes sport exciting, is like, what's the strategy? And there are multiple viable paths. And I think that some of that has to do with who's in the field right now. And it's just sort of a, happy coincidence of like who can do what and who mm-hmm. has what strengths and what weaknesses. But I also, I mean, I do want to like, I never thought I'd say this, but I do want to credit like the judges and the judging system right now. I also wow. want to say though that I, and I don't know if this is the time to bring it up or not. I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying this as a discredit to Rion, because I actually really love her skating and it has nothing mm-hmm. to do with her. But because we're already talking about judging, something I've been thinking about recently is whether the sport would be improved if they didn't cap your PCS when you make technical mistakes.
I honestly don't know. I've wondered that in the past, and I've had friends ask me that when I'm trying to describe how PCS works at 3 a.m. at the drag bar. The thing is, as it stands right now, one of your bullet points, one of your categories for PCS is skating skills. And we know that that means, you know, your very basic, how do you do this thing? But also, I feel like almost subconsciously, it's impossible to divorce the definition of skating skills from, do I have the skill to not have fallen 7 times this time around?
Yeah, I agree. Although, I don't know. Like, I think
it's about, like, definitions more than it is about the practicality of...
Yeah, and how, like, I guess I would have to, before I start mouthing off about this on air, I should probably read more about the technicalities of the rules, but I don't know. To me, I'm like, I don't really see the point of capping, like, how well you can score somebody's performance based on the fact that they fell a couple times on really hard jumps. Like, those are two different things for me.
Yeah.
Do they cap performance or just skating skills? I don't know. I'll have to see. But I just feel like I don't like, I don't know. I don't really get it. But if you really feel like strongly about it, get at me. Don't yell at me because I'll cry and lose my mind. But just be really nice and explain to me. Or don't. It's fine. Just sit there, sit in your car and be like, what a dumb bitch. That's also fine.
I support that for you. You know, it's not a dumb bitch.
Kaori Sakamoto, not a dumb bitch, famously.
My beautiful wife, Kaori, who is at the point where she is not satisfied with winning undeniably because she wants to win even more undeniably, and I love her for it. However, before we say anything else, her short program score was 69.69.
Can I get a nice...
Nice. Which is not as high as she's used to scoring. And I think it lit a bit of a fire under her butt, which led to this free skate, which, again, wasn't perfect. There were some calls from the judges there. But she is so capable at this point of delivering high stakes performance when every single point matters. And I think that's very sexy of her.
Yeah, and as Mark was saying, I think because she's the world champion, she got to choose her assignments for the Grand Prix series. And she chose deliberately to do this one instead of NHK because she wanted to give herself time before the final. And I think it's very sexy to just know you're going to make the final and then make the final. Like, it would have been really tragic if she did that and then didn't make the final. But like, to do that, know you're going to make the final and then make the final is very sexy.
Yeah, that is the sort of season planning that we don't really get to hear about as much. I mean, we hear a lot about, you know, oh, we're hoping to peak at Worlds or whatever, just from snippets from interviews. But this really lets us see the bird's eye view of, from day one of this season, this was one of the goals, was getting to this final. And there was strategy in how she was going to do it. And now she has her beautiful, shiny 30 points. And we get to see her in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I love the attitude that she projects and, like, by all means has based on people who've described her. And I really appreciate, because I think a lot of times when you're in that mindset of, like, winning isn't good enough, I have to win more, It can be indicative of like a really unhealthy, negative, bad, hard on yourself mindset. And I hope that that's not like
boiling under the surface
in an unproductive way. Like, I really hope that it's true that she is able to find the balance between like motivating herself to true greatness without being like horrible to herself, because that's so rare. And like, I want to believe it's possible.
I feel like it is. I mean, I obviously don't know her, but even here, you know, there was that little response to her overall score where she was like, you know, I don't know about that. But then immediately after, she was back to, you know, the realization that it was a job well done. And this is what had to be done here on, you know, this week. I don't know. I feel like she, because she's not a 15-year-old being pushed into a narrative, I think she has had time to grow into the, oh my God, I'm ending up on the podiums. Oh my God, I'm ending up winning a bunch. Oh wow, I'm the 2-time world champion. What is the next step? I think it's been a very natural progression. So I feel like that helps as well with the, because you don't want to see complacency either. Like, I don't want to see someone who shows up and is like, yeah, I know I'm going to win. So I'm not going to, whatever I do is going to be good enough. I don't, that's not an attitude I enjoy.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that she's still continuing to improve and by no means slowing down is an indicator of where she's at. Because if you've won Worlds twice, you've gotten, you know, I don't even remember what actually happened at the Olympics. I just feel like in my heart she won. You know, if you're that accomplished, and you're still putting together really competitive skates, it's not even in a Shoma place of like hinting at a farewell tour, hinting at the end of a chapter, hinting at not caring about the results, just wanting to put out your art. It's like still very competitive. And so that alone tells us that, of course, she's competing with herself at this point. And that's also really cool. We don't see that. We haven't seen that a lot in women's recently because of the pattern of retirement so young. Yep. It's so, I'm realizing this now as I say it, like you really, we haven't seen that great, like, you know, I'm top tier and I'm competing against myself as I age into a different period in my career, but I'm still going. We don't get to see that with women a lot. It's like really special.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I think is what makes it really, really exciting for me as well. I mean, obviously we've stand since day one because we're smart. No, I'm joking, of course. No, but we've stand here for a very long time. And it is very interesting how much of a palpably different era she seems to be entering. We talked about it like last time when we talked about her as well, with, you know, being like, oh, it's so interesting for her to be doing a lyrical thing when we remember earlier in her career when that was normal. Just seeing those steps into this chapter is, I don't know, it's exciting and it makes me happy. And I'm sure she's going to do great in the final and I can't wait to see it. That's all.
Yeah. And to me, it's a nice indication that she also is staying really grounded, that she's, you know, oh, I want to do a tribute program to my niece and nephew because they're very special to me. Like, just that connection with family indicates to me also that she's probably, I mean, imagine, I think I said this last time, imagine Kari Sakamoto is your aunt. I can't even imagine. And like, I sometimes wonder what it must be like for my nieces to know that they have such a famous, attractive podcaster as an aunt. Like, that must be really crazy for them.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I don't think they know what podcasts are, but I feel like on some level they know that I'm like a really important figure in the world. And, so
you're my favorite celebrity, and I'm sure they know that as well.
Yeah, I think so. But I also, what was I going to say?
Something important because you're a celebrity.
Did the thing just happen in real time where you gave me a stupid compliment and I lost my train of thought because I was so happy? Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
That's so embarrassing.
And that is a callback, everyone. We do it's a callback and comedy out here.
Yes, we do. Anyway, that's Finland.
That
oh,
is
wait, can
Finland.
I tell you a funny story,
yes,
though?
This please is, do. Because
it really colored my perception of Kaori's free skate in a way that was really stressful. So
okay.
This is what having vague spoilers will do to me and my mindset. The only thing I knew going into the women's free was that Amber, I saw a tweet that indicated that Amber went from 11th to 2nd, and I did not see, like, context, 2nd in the free, 3rd overall. I did not see that. I thought 2nd meant 2nd overall. So we go into Kaori Sakamoto, last skater.
Buddy.
Rion is ahead of Amber, and I'm in my head thinking, well, Amber comes in second overall, which means that Kaori tanks. But also, I knew that because, okay, this is maybe familiar territory if anybody shares a streaming account with somebody else, but you know when you share a streaming account with someone else and you click play and it's already at the end because the other person already watched it? So the last thing I saw was a frame of Kaori looking pretty happy. So I was like, okay, well, she can't do that bad. So she must get bronze and just be a good sport about it. Like, that's the only outcome that makes sense with all these variables. So I rewind the whole thing. I watch the whole thing. And then I'm watching her free. And I'm watching and she's doing really well. And so every jumping pass, I'm getting more and more nervous. I'm like, how badly is she going to fuck up in the next 10 seconds that she gets bronze?
Oh,
and
it was like, God.
I felt like I was watching Uncut Gems. It was like very stressful for me. And then at the end, I figured out what happened and I felt dumb.
It was doing the math as it was happening. Because I didn't get to have that experience, but I was watching, you know, Amber stay at the top of this for such a long time. And it kept being the thing of like, there is no way, like, she's going to end up in like fourth or fifth and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to be so proud of her. There is no way. There is no way. And then it was right down to, you know, the second to last skate. It was right down to Rion where it was like, oh my God, this is, you know, this has worked out actually. It was crazy. A great event. I love when women unpredictable. I love unpredictable women.
That's a great like thesis statement. Women being unpredictable is great.
Yeah. This is, you've heard of Uncut Gems. Get ready for unpredictable women. I don't know.
One thing I want to say that has nothing to do with this competition at all, but in lieu of Plushie Corner, because I have nothing interesting to say about that, I want to bring back a brief, I guess it's social media corner. Just be media corner. I've been showed the most delightful video I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
It's actually old, and maybe you already saw it, and maybe you already suggested to me that I watch it, and I forgot. Like, this is the kind of shit I'm on, but I finally watched that video of those two Belgian guys, like, learning how to figure skate, and Luna Hendrix teaches them, and they wear her old costumes.
I have not seen that.
Okay, so maybe this is new to you as well. So you have to Google. I mean, when I YouTube Luna Hendrix, it's the second result. But anyway, it's called Becoming an Olympic Figure Skater in 2 Hours featuring Luna Hendrix by YouTube user Average Rob. And from what I can tell, it's like these two Belgian dudes who are like, I guess like Try Guys, but also like goofy, like jackass kind of. And they have like very like TJ Maxx kind of silly accents, but I think it's real. They're Belgian. I can't hold that against them. Stan Belgium. But anyway, she shows up with no makeup and she's so cute and like not, she's also cute with makeup and all those things are true.
Yeah.
But it's just like, she's, it's just different. Pretty. We're used to seeing her with a beat face. She's just like so naturally pretty. And these two really, really like bro-y himbo guys, but they're like really in the spirit. And they like, one of them wears one of her old costumes and one of them wears one of Yorick's old costumes. And you know when those videos of people, like regular people learning how to skate?
Yes.
It's like the ones that are infuriatingly naturally good at it are always these stupid himbo jock men because they're so muscular and they have no fear of looking stupid because that's what they do for a living.
They have no fear of looking stupid and they also just simply have no fear.
Yeah, exactly. So they're out there like not afraid of hurting themselves because they're kind of like, they have a little bit of that jackass mentality of like, we kind of do physical comedy and hurt ourselves for fun anyway.
Yeah.
It's a great video.
I will be watching that tonight. That sounds delightful. That sounds like what I'm going to do with dinner.
Yeah, it's like 14 minutes long. It's great. And it's, they're really respectful of her. Like, I think sometimes, I don't know, sometimes in that genre of video, I get like creepy vibes towards the woman guest, but they're really like they, what's the word? Mm. Like reverent in the way that she deserves.
You know what I love in that genre? Kind of, and this is so not related to anything we're talking about, is I love watching people swap sports, like hockey players learning how to figure skate, gymnasts learning how to do free running, like any of that, where it's people who are already good at the thing getting curious, respectful, but also humbled by a different sport is always very funny. As like a side genre of this sort of content.
Absolutely. Yeah. So these guys, their sport is like being stupid on YouTube. And that actually lends itself quite well to figure skating.
If I were not a podcaster. I think that would be my sport. If I owned a camera.
That's the only thing that holds you back. If only I had a microphone instead of a camera. Those are the two genders.
Yeah, it's about the bisexuality is about either you have to pick if you own a camera or I don't know. There is a bit. We've done one successful callback, so I think the episode's good.
Yeah, let's just hedge our bets. Let's quit while we're ahead here. Unlike Kaori Sakamoto, we're gonna quit while we're ahead. We're not heroes.
Yeah, well, see, the thing in comedy is you usually finish your scene when you get the biggest laugh, and I'm sure that happened about 20 minutes ago. So for those of you who are still here, we would like to thank you for joining us for more Grand Prix. We are in Japan next week. It will, as you've heard from us, actively trying to process the mathematical odds, going to be insane. And in the meantime, Megan, do you want to give me a list of people who have never quit while they're ahead because they keep winning? And that is our Patreon supporters.
Yes, I will. I don't know why I just took my glasses off.
right as I'm like, requesting yes, I will. That you read.
Let me read aloud this list of blurry shapes. my favorite blurry shapes in the whole world. Brooke, Richard, Michelle, Vicky, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Elizabeth, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Bethany, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Casey, two different people. Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra in Winter, Alina, Margaret, Robert, Annie, Vox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan.
Thank you all so much. You truly are some of our favorite people, and everyone who is listening is all of our favorite people. You can find us on the internet. All of our things are in the show notes. Real quick, the petition I talked about in the last episode is still ongoing. You can still support it, and I would very much appreciate it. And you can find that and also all of our shit in the show notes, and you can find our coverage of NHK, which is happening either now, as we speak, or so soon. You can find that over at Iced Tea Pod on the formerly Bard app.
Yes,
and we'll scream at you more later.
Yes, we will. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.